to be happy with it. Jam tomorrow. See?
This is wrong, Death hesitated. I mean, it's right to be happy with what you've got, but you've got to have something to be happy about having. There's no point in being happy about having nothing.
Albert felt a bit out of his depth in this new tide of social philosophy. Dunno, he said. I suppose people would say they've got the moon and the stars and such like.
I'm sure they wouldn't be able to produce the paperwork.
All I know is, if Dad had caught us with a big bag of pricey toys, we'd have just got a ding round the ear hole for nicking him.
It is unfair.
That's life, Master.
But I'm not.
I meant this is how it's supposed to go, Master, said Albert.
No, you mean this is how it goes.
Albert leaned against the stove and rolled himself one of his horrible thin cigarettes. It was best to let the Master work his own way through these things. He got over them eventually. It was like that business with the violin. For 3 days there was nothing but twangs and broken strings, and then he'd never touch the thing again. That was the trouble, really. Everything the Master did was a bit like that. When things got into his head, you just had to wait until they leaked out again. He'd thought that Hogswatch was all plum pudding and brandy and ho-ho-ho, and he didn't have the kind of mind that could ignore all the other stuff. And so it hurt him.
It is Hogswatch, said Death. And people die on the streets. People feast behind lighted windows and other people have no homes. Is this fair?
Well, of course. That's the big issue, Albert began.
The peasant had a handful of beans and the king had so much he would not even notice that which he gave away. Is this fair?
Yeah, but if you gave it all to the peasant, then in a year or two he'd be just as snooty as the king, began Albert, jaundiced observer of human nature.
Naughty and nice, said Death, but it's easy to be nice if you're rich. Is this fair?
Albert wanted to argue. He wanted to say, really? In that case, how come so many of the rich buggers these bastards? And being poor don't mean being naughty, neither. We was poor when I were a kid, but we was honest. Well, more stupid than honest, to tell the truth, but basically, honest.
He didn't argue, though. The Master wasn't in any mood for it. He always did what needed to be done.
You did say we just had to do this so's people would believe, he began, and then stopped and started again.
When it comes to fair, Master, you yourself... I am even-handed to rich and poor alike, snapped Death. But this should not be a sad time. This is supposed to be the season to be jolly.
He wrapped his red robe around him.
And other things ending in Ollie, he added.
There's no blade, said the O-God. It's just a sword hilt.
Susan stepped out of the light and her wrist moved. A sparkling blue line flashed in the air for a moment, outlining an edge too thin to be seen. The O-God backed away.
What's that?
Oh, it cuts tiny bits of the air in half. It can cut the soul away from the body, so stand back, please.
Oh, I will, I will.
Susan fished the black scabbard out of the umbrella stand.
Umbrella stand?
It never rained here, but Death had an umbrella stand. Practically no one else Susan knew had an umbrella stand. In any list of useful furniture, the one found at the bottom would be the umbrella stand. Death lived in a black world where nothing was alive and everything was dark, and his great library only had dust and cobwebs because he'd created them for effect. And there was never any sun in the sky, and the air never moved, and he had an umbrella stand and a pair of silver-backed hairbrushes by his bed. He wanted to be something more than just a bony apparition. He tried to create these flashes of personality, but somehow they betrayed themselves. They tried too hard, like an adolescent boy going out wearing an aftershave called Rampant. Grandfather always got things wrong. He saw life from outside and never quite understood.
That looks dangerous, said the O-God.
Susan sheathed the sword.
I hope so, she said. Where are we going, exactly?
Somewhere under an overhead sky, said Susan. And I've seen it before. Recently. I know the place. They walked out to the stable yard. Binky was waiting.
I said you don't have to come, said Susan, grasping the saddle. I mean, you're an innocent bystander. But I'm a god of hangovers who's been cured of hangovers, said the O-God. "I haven't really got any function at all."
He looked so forlorn when he said this that she relented. "All right, come on then." She pulled him up.